Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And as I did last week, I will do what I'm going to do, so I don't have to hear myself twice in the world of Apple. As I did last week, I will say some Hebrew letters, and next week we will also give you that tool so that you can use it.
About
spiritual concepts. Our five senses are not designed to see or sense those concepts. We do have a sixth sense, and a seventh, and an eighth, and a ninth, and a tenth. But for most people, it's just, we call it the sixth sense, psychic abilities. But what people don't understand about psychic abilities is it is using the spiritual system. And the spiritual system has two radio stations, to use a metaphor. And they both go through the same system. One of the radio stations is coming from the positive side, and one of the radio stations comes from the negative side. And the result of the radio station is your thoughts. Your thoughts do not come from you. They come from outside of you. Do you pick up other people's thoughts? Yes. But you don't know they belong to other people. I get the idea that I should make a bakery. That's the business I should do. I don't like to cook. I don't know anything about the kitchen. So I know that thought is not for me. But other times, I like what it says. I like what I'm thinking. But is it for me or is it for somebody else? This is the spiritual system, and what we're going to learn is how to discern what is for you and what is for others. So you don't go from spending 40 years building a business that's going to ultimately fail because it wasn't meant for you to do it. Are there any questions before we start tonight's class? Tonight's class is really the history of the world, the history of Kabbalah. And the easiest place to start is what most people have been taught in modern physics. It's called the Big Bang Theory. And it says, in case I'm sure you know it, but I'll refresh your memories. Big Bang Theory says that there was a big explosion that happened 15.5 billion years ago. They keep changing the number. And this explosion happened, and our universe came into being, expanding as it is, going through its process. The atoms coalesced into suns, and the suns into planets, and the planets into one-celled animals and plants, and the following evolution, and there was an animal. And the truth is, Kabbalah accepts that. Kabbalah teaches that. Evolution is correct, except for one thing. And we will discuss that in a minute. But the Big Bang Theory has validity. But again, it's not complete. And the reason they say, I can prove to you it's not complete, is nobody tells you this, but if you ask, what are the conditions after the Big Bang at 0.1 tenth of a second after the Big Bang? They're mathematical. Falls apart. It does not make sense. The answer they arrive at does not make sense. They can't handle the conditions, and therefore the math doesn't work. And the reality is, nobody wants to tell you that because this is science, and we know, except that 10 years later there's a new science and a new knowledge. Kabbalah comes from a place, whatever knowledge we needed to know was given to us at the moment of creation. And the moment of creation is not the Big Bang. That's part of the process. There was something that happened before that. another theory that modern science has professed is the string theory. And I don't know if you've heard of it, but essentially it says that all subatomic particles are built from smaller particles made up of strings that vibrate. And when the string vibrates one way, it becomes an electron, and when it vibrates another way, it becomes a proton or a neutron. Or any of the, what is it, 1,000 different subatomic particles that science has discovered and revealed. And again, the Kabbalah says, that's right. Just look in the Bible. God said there was light, and there was light. God spoke. There are words, and words manifest. Sound is the creative process. Sound is what does the creation. So we agree. Little technicalities about how we agree. And eventually, and this sounds very pompous, so I apologize in advance, but it's true. Eventually science will bring their theories into place and be consistent with Kabbalah. And according to scientists, that's very pompous. But they're looking for the one unified theory, and Kabbalah will explain that anytime you want. The third theory that is developed in the last 10 years, I believe, 10, 12 years, is called the M theory. And the M theory says that all universes are separated by a thin membrane, and that this universe was at one point totally empty and void. And then something penetrated the membrane and ejaculated everything that it needed, all the energy that would become all the mass, that is all the energy and all the forms. Everything was done at one instant. And they use the term ejaculate. It's a very sexual discussion, penetration, ejaculation, and so forth. And again, the Zohar and the Kabbalah agree. The Zohar was very poetic and uses sexual relationships quite powerfully in describing different aspects of our world. So there's no inconsistency between what is being developed in modern science and what the Kabbalah has been teaching for generations. So let's start at the beginning. And what the beginning is the thought of creation. Why is it a thought of creation? Because we don't do anything without a thought. When was the last time you brushed your teeth without thinking about it? When was the last time you cooked a meal without thinking about what you were going to prepare first? If you don't think about it, you have chaos. You put the chicken comes out first, the vegetables come out raw. It doesn't work. It's a plan. And that plan is called the thought of creation. And that plan is the Torah, is the Bible. Now, the thought of creation is a simple thought. The Kabbalists teach us that the thought of creation is to be revealed. The light, which is an esoteric entity. The light, which is a spiritual entity, has no ability to be sensed by any of the creations. We have five senses. As we discussed last week, it's an illusion. They create an illusion for us. We cannot sense ghosts. There are people who can. They're tied into the psychic system. There are people who can sense auras. They're tied into the psychic metaphysical system. But normally, most human beings, with their five senses, are unable to sense any esoteric entity. the light said, I want to be revealed. Now, the Kabbalists call the Creator light. And they're actually two different things. Rabbi Ashram teaches us it's mental masturbation to talk about the Creator. Anything that you cannot name, you cannot understand. To call something the Creator does not define him or her or it. To put a name, Creator, has no meaning. What does it mean to be a Creator? Rabbi Ashram says, don't waste your time talking about the Creator. There is an entity that is the Creator. We can't understand it as long as we're in the physical body, in the physical senses, in the physical levels. Don't waste your time. Don't do the mental masturbation. But there is an extension of the Creator called light. And why do the Kabbalists call it light? If I take a candle and I light another candle, I have enhanced the power of light. I have more light. Have I diminished the first candle? Is it less? If I ignore the loss of wax and so forth, the physical items, but just light itself, I can take those two candles and I can light 400 million. I never diminish the existing light, and I always add to the light. That is the essence of light. That is the essence of fulfillment. The thought of the Creator was, I want to be revealed. And he, at that instant, from the thought, not a process of time or steps, a process of cause and effect, light came into being, which is fulfillment, and lack came into being, something to be fulfilled. And that is what is called the endless world, the Enso. That endless world had one vessel with all of the possibilities of desire, all of the possibilities of the light attributes being revealed, of the Creator's attributes being revealed. So love is an attribute. Hate is an attribute. Healing is an attribute. All kinds of different attributes that the Creator has, that the light was given as a fulfillment for the lack of the vessel. This is the world of Ensof. This is a world that makes the Garden of Eden look like hell. There is absolutely no lack. And before you have the idea that you have a desire for something, it's fulfilled. The phrase that is used to describe this world is, he and his name are one. He represents light, and light is fulfilled. His name represents lack, represents the vessel. He and his name, fulfillment and desire, are one. Before you had a thought that I have a lack, it was fulfilled. So you never even noticed that there was a lack. This world of the unsoul is the pretty us. How long? There was no time. So no way to measure it. Doesn't matter. It was all there. And yet it wasn't, because there was a first cause that created it. But that first cause came down, cause, effect, cause, effect. Cause became an effect. The effect became a cause for the next effect. That effect became a cause for the next effect. explain in a little bit why that is. In the endless world, this vessel of infinite desires, essentially infinite lacks. But why does it have a lack? Because the Creator has an attribute it wants to be revealed. So it created a vessel to reveal it. So the vessel has a desire, that's lack. The light has the fulfillment of that desire, that's cause. Cause and effect. But they're in unity. Now, spiritual law says consciousness defines vessel. Spiritual law says if I desire something and something else desires something else, a second thing, there's no affinity between those two desires. And therefore, the vessels themselves are not in unity. They're separated. They have distance between them. Not distance like you and I are sitting across the table 3 feet away, but distance meaning there is no affinity between my desire and your desire. In the endless world, all of these desires were fulfilled, but they're fulfilled, that's a sharing consciousness. Wanting to fulfill is sharing. Lack is receiving. Sharing and receiving are two opposites. We do not understand this paradox of how the endless world can be in unity. Because according to spiritual law, they should be separated. So fulfillment should have moved to one side of the session, of the universe, and the receiving should have moved to the other side of the universe. But it didn't. It was left in in unity. It's a paradox we don't understand, but that's the source of every paradox in our world. And our world is filled with paradoxes. After some time, there's no time, so after eons, the vessel became tired of being fulfilled. The reason it became tired of being fulfilled was the nature of a vessel is to take on the attribute of what fulfills it. We have a cup in front of us. If I put hot coffee in that cup, will it become warm? The cup will become warm. If I put iced coffee in it, will it become cold? This is because the nature of the vessel is to take on the attribute of what fulfills it. So the vessel is being fulfilled by the light. The attribute of the light is sharing. The vessel takes on the attribute. I want to share. Who can it share with? There's only one vessel. Who can it share with? It can't share back to the light because there's no lock there. So what is the issue? What is the vessel going to do? And so you get to the proverbial, the infinite power meets the immovable object. The vessel says to the light, I don't want to be fulfilled. That's a desire. How does the light fulfill a desire that says, I don't want? The result of that is something called sensing. The way it's described is the light withdrew into itself. Except that is everywhere. There's no empty space of God. There's no place that God isn't. So how does God withdraw into himself and leave an empty space? the vessel can become separated and share with each other. The vessel can become a co-creator, a co-sharer. The vessel can make mistakes in this empty space and correct them. That's the purpose of this empty space that can't exist, because God is everywhere. But we don't sense God. We find Him separated from us, meaning the light is separated, the fulfillment is separated. And the reason that the fulfillment is separated is something called bread of shame. In the endless world, the vessel is received. But it's not earning. The metaphor that we give is if I take you out to lunch, you have a beautiful meal, wonderful music, and a happy, great conversation. We leave the meal satisfied and happy. Does it happen to us? Sure. I pick up the check. Yeah, in hindsight, just walking out the door, I pick up the check. The next we get outside, I say, let's do it again tomorrow. Tomorrow comes and we have another wonderful experience. I pick up the check as we walk out of here. And I do this every day for a year, every day for 2 years, every day for 10 years. And we always have wonderful time. But it's human nature, meaning it's part of what the vessel's nature is. To say, I'd like to pick up the check today. You've done it for the last 10 years. Today, let me do it. This is bread of shame. The more that you eat, the more that you receive, the more uncomfortable you become. That was the cause of the vessel saying, no more fulfillment. I'd rather die. Receive without earning. So there's a whole set of rules in this physical world of ours that says you can receive, but only if you earn. And the basis of the earning is removing bread of shame in this world. And the set of rules, the set of actions that remove the bread of shame is defined in the blueprint of creation called the Bible. God created time, and one of the reasons He created time is so that we could measure it. And the purpose of our measuring it is to know how much longer we have to be in this physical world. And He gave us 6,000 years. We are in the year 5771. There are 229 years left to go. What happens at the end of 229 years? You know, you've heard of the prophecies, Armageddon, war, pain and suffering, destruction, chaos. All of this horrible stuff that we've heard out of religious environments for centuries. In 229 years, if we do not do our spiritual work, this chaos will cause us to let go of bread of shame. But it doesn't have to be that way. There's another set of prophecies. You've heard those too. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Life will be peaceful. People will deal with each other in a peaceful, non-chaotic way. People will love each other. You've heard this. These two streams of prophecies run throughout all of the different prophets that are written in the Torah. what is prophecy? Prophecy is the light saying to the prophet, tell the people such and such. Any negative prophecy does not have to manifest. Every positive prophecy will manifest. Why does it not have to? Why does it not have to manifest? Because we have an assumption, which is not an assumption, it's true. The Creator doesn't want to give us pain. The Creator wants to give us pleasure. But we don't know how to receive that pleasure, and so we feel it as pain. Therefore, by doing our spiritual work, we can transform those negative prophecies into the positive ones. Those prophecies, each and every verse, each and every word, is spoken to every human being in every generation. That's why they were written into the Torah. There are a billion prophets. Only 55 of them are recorded. There are schools of prophets. There are techniques to become a prophet. We live in a generation in the last 2,500 years where prophecy does not exist. It's in the hands of children and imbeciles. God still gives us prophecies, but they come out of the mouths of children, so nobody listens. And they come out of the mouths of crazy people, so again, nobody listens. This whole issue, in the Torah, we have these prophecies. They are designed speak to every human soul in every generation. They're not talking about Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Egypt before he destroyed Jerusalem. They're talking to us today. But we have to learn how to understand what's being said. It's a code. It's concealed. Kabbalah will give you the techniques and the tools to undo the code. Do you have to learn Hebrew? No. Do you have to read the Bible? No. Do you have to have an experience, personal experience of the Creator? Yes. Why do you have to do that? Because that's how you remove brotherhood. That's how we change that chaos into no chaos. That's the thing that we will use. Now the first thing that was created in the endless world and as part of the process of the endless world were the letters, the Hebrew letters. Why?
The meaning.
God spoke and it came into being for naming. The letters were designed to transfer metaphysical energy. Man has created scanners in the markets. The barcode goes across, the computer sees it, all of a sudden it takes one off of the inventory, it gets the price, and all these major things happen, and somebody takes my money out of it. It's a well-known fact that you cannot share something you don't have. For man to be able to create a scanner, man has to have the ability to scan. We've always known the adage, your eyes are the window to the soul. Looking at the Hebrew letters, and we'll talk about this much more next week, looking at the Hebrew letters changes your soul. There is a transfer of metaphysical energy that takes place. Now, that transfer can be negative. It can be positive. Because the Creator gave us free will. Free will is a very important difference between an infant and an adult is knowledge of what to choose. If I don't make the choice and somebody else makes the choice for me, I am in effect. Bob, would you go turn on the light or turn off the light at this room, please? Now, let's say Bob got up and went off the light. He turned off the light. Bob or me?
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. The answer is, I did, because I asked Bob to. Bob becomes an effect of my request.
But he has to be able to be made
in front of me. So it's co-sharing. It's co-creating. That's exactly what takes place when we work together. We co-create. When we work at odds with each other, we co-create chaos. And that's why we have chaos in our life. There is no coercion in spirituality. It's a law. What do I mean by a law? We have things called that we refer to as natural law, the law of thermodynamics, second law of thermodynamics, entropy, E equals mc squared. We have these laws. They work in the natural world, in the natural physical world. Everything that works in the natural world, in the physical world, also works in the spiritual world. The same laws. The physics is different, but the laws are the same. So we need to understand that and learn how to use those laws. There's a law for miracles. You want a miracle in your life? You want to fly to your job so you don't have to find the car? There's a law for miracles. Why can't you do that? You can. You just have to change yourself sufficiently that you learn how to use that aspect of the spiritual system. Everything that we can think of, we can do. But do we have the merit to do it? Is that the best thing for us? A three-year-old can touch a hot stove. Is that the best thing for him to do? Probably not. Mothers and fathers try and stop their three-year-old. Sometimes they succeed, sometimes they don't. Sometimes we learn by head bumping our nose into the wall. Sometimes we learn just intellectually, oh, we shouldn't do that. This world is our playground to grow from immaturity to maturity. Lifetime after lifetime, we get to do it over until we do it right. That's the mistakes. That's the corrections. And everything that happens in this world is caused by a spiritual cause, not a physical cause. If I take a ball and throw it at the window starts to break before the ball hits it. What's the cause of the window breaking? It got a message from the spiritual world, right? It got a message from the ball to the spiritual world, back to the window, right? We don't really know. Scientists don't know. They just see what's on the photographic movie. Ultimately, cause is always spiritual. Effect is always physical. Except when it comes to man. Man's actions also affect the spiritual world. But what that means is not quite the same thing. And we will discuss that over the classes. It's not something that you have the vocabulary yet to understand. We have 231 years left. We're running out of time. We have a law teaching us how to receive, teaching us to know the spiritual system is necessary for us to achieve that peaceful method, that peaceful lack of Armageddon. And that's why Kabbalah is being revealed to our generation. That's why it's being made available. I think I've said everything, but let's see how long I take. Pretty close. Anybody have any questions?
Freedom was given to you. And it made bark.
No. You have free will to have an emotion.
Yeah.
You have free will to stop your emotion. So it's not just intellect.
And what we gave me the free will.
I'm sorry?
And what we gave me the free will, it came with our existence.
Well, did our existence come from someplace?
Yes.
Well, we don't have to call it God, we'll call it the universe. The universe gave us existence, and along with existence, it gave us free will. I don't have any argument with that. Do you have an argument with it? You want to continue discussing it? We can.
The way it was put, that was something that was selected.
No, it's not.
It was an option.
It actually, it is an option. God could have created us with six fingers, but he didn't. He could have created us without free will, but he didn't. There's a reason why we need free will. Grandchildren give their grandparents a Jewish word called nachas. What it means is you receive pleasure just by watching them be happy. You didn't do anything. You didn't cause anything. You're just happy to see them happy.
It's not just a cranberry.
I'm sorry.
It's with any of all. Watching you know happy.
Okay. Basic idea.
Yeah, 11:10, I'll be there.
Is the,
I'll be there 11:10. I'll be there.
We don't really have free will. We live in a movie of our own creation. And that movie, we can change the movie, but once we enter the movie, it plays out, and there's no free will. What happened in your life, you married this woman, you didn't marry this woman, you had X number of children, you didn't have 22 X times children, all of that is the movie that you're in. You could have changed it. You didn't know how. We're going to teach you how. And the free will that you have, which movie are you going to be in? The one with a lot of chaos or the one with no chaos? But once you're in the movie, there's no free will. You're just playing out the movie like an actor. The director tells you what to do and you do it. The director is your higher soul. You drive down the street. You think you're going home. You're not going home. You're driving down the street so that the guy next to you, who owes some energy to make the correction from last left hand, his aura will bypass your aura, and that energy will be exchanged. You're not aware of it. You don't sense it. There are people who sense it. Most people, you don't know it. It just happens. What's the cause of you driving down the street?
I'm going home.
You think you're in trouble. But that's not why you're driving down the street. You're driving down the street because your higher soul says, drive down the street. You need to exchange energy with this guy. And he's going to be there because I just talked to his higher soul and we made the arrangement. Cause and effect. Do you have free will? No, you're going to drive down the street because your higher self told you. But it could be there's a world that he, that guy doesn't exist. And the balance of that energy will be exchanged in a different way, in a different world. This is all part of the cause and effect. This is what we will come to understand and utilize. This is what we will search for. What is the cause? We'll come with laws that say, you're the creator of everything in your world. All that pain and suffering and all that pleasure that you've existed and received in your life, you created. You're the cause. Nobody else. That's a very difficult thing here. It's even more difficult to accept and even harder to act upon. But it's true. Right. You can change it. And we will teach you how to people want to change it. There are two paths to those prophecies. One of those paths is the chaotic one of pain and suffering. One of them is the path of Torah, the path of knowledge, the path of peace and serenity. Kabbalah will teach you how to do the second path and avoid the first path. That's what I'm here to make available.
You're just telling us that that's a karma.
No, because karma says you can't change it. I'm telling you, you can change anything.
Or even if you're on the path,
you have a DNA, God forbid you have a DNA disease. Karma would say you can't change that. I'm saying you can change it. It will be more difficult once it's manifest as DNA, but it still can be changed. You may not want to pay the price to change. And not want to do what you need to do to change. But you can change. This is what we're trying to understand.
At any point there's a transfer to the non-chaos path.
Yes.
No matter how much chaos there is, you can always do it.
That's correct. You can always have a non-chaotic path if you choose to change yourself.
But you forget you're supposed to be supposed.
Yep. And you'll even find out why there is chaos. What you did that created the chaos. And you'll be given an opportunity to correct. So that it never happened. We'll talk about, it's called Chuva, we'll talk about what it. A guy walks into a convenience store and shoots the owner. In a robbery, and he goes to prison for life. And during the course of prison, he does tshuva. He really repents. He left a widow with 12 kids. They're starving to death. They can't make their bills pay because they need the husband to achieve that. How did you correct it? Can't bring the guy back to life. But
he can provide.
He can provide a new husband who will put the kids to college because he's a millionaire. And their whole life will be better than it was with the first husband. All based on his doing the tshuva, his doing the event. So he doesn't have to pay the price. He doesn't no longer have to sit in that chair. That's the process of removing chaos. That's a very, extreme example. with me. Paragraph after paragraph. What's chaos? Loss of a child is chaos, we would all agree with that. Loss of a parent is painful, so it must be chaos. Having a major disease is chaos. We can agree on most things of what chaos is.
Chaos is painful. You can't be hurt.
Excellent.
Just knock you over.
And that along comes this paragraph of the problem. And the man says, the sage says, for him, it is life. Chaos is when he reaches into his pocket for 3 points and pulls out 2. Or pulls out 4. Anything he couldn't control. Absolutely. Okay.
If you repeat a word until we get it right.
I'm sorry?
If you repeat a word until we get it right.
Yes.
Theoretically, some people have gotten it right right out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
When you repeat and then you know, is there any way to come back and help the rest of them out of the game?
The answer is yes. And that's what we call a sage. That's what we call somebody who came back into his life to assist others. The person who wrote this book, Rabbi Shimon, is one of those people. Moses in the Torah is one of those people. There are others all through the centuries who've come to assist. They've completed themselves, and they've chosen to come back into this hellhole, excuse my expression, in order to speed our process, to help us reach the right place, the right decision.
And the people who choose to continue in the chaos, they will go through the chaos to join us in the battle of the past?
Everybody was in the endless world.
Hmm?
Everybody will return to the endless world because they've never left it. The only difference is when they return consciously to the endless world, they will no longer have bread or shame. And the other difference, if it is a difference, but here's what I want to say. Religion throughout the centuries has taught, be a better person. Be a better person today than you were yesterday. And I'm here telling you, it doesn't matter what you do, because you're going to return to the endless world.
We return.
Exactly. And that's the reason that religion has said, be a better person. Because being a better person, as you define it, not as I define it, but as you define it, means less chaos in your life, means a shorter path without pain and suffering. But if you want the pain and suffering, and there are many people who are comfortable with it, they don't want to change it. If I said to you to be chaos-free, you'd have to pick up your life and move to Alaska. And lived there for 30 years. Are you ready to go? Is your bag packed? I promise you total freedom is from chaos. Like living 30 years in the snow. You willing to do it? Okay. And it's not a question of yes or no, or, you know, why aren't you crazy? No. This is mostly, we are not ready for the change. We don't like the change. And we're willing to accept our chaos.
You could promise that you would get less chaos by moving to Oregon. I'd like to experience Oregon and say, yeah, I'll go.
They're all influential.
Of course.
To me, what are you going to call it?
It's chaos.
It's non-chaos.
Former chaos.
I hear it. I understand.
I'm East Coast for 3 years.
I've got
no idea.
love that.
You've gone away from it.
The chaos of our dirt is not for me.
I hear you.
But to me, I see the natural state of the universe as chaos. We spend all our lives trying to control that chaos to make it better for us.
Correct. The law of entropy says it's chaos. And yet, the Kabbalists tell us that
the law of the universe is not chaos. Is it? The same universe
is not chaos.
It's
wow. Interesting.
I know you're right there.
Yes. I hear you.
I think that's where it all is.
So that's where we are. Any other questions? Then we'll be here next Tuesday to start to give you the tools. Please make a note so that you bring them with you. If you go to the Hashem Wedge website, and you have that from last week on the paper, you go to the Revealed Wisdom section. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a matrix that says on the left column, basic class. You go to class number 3. And you scroll down that page a little bit, and you want to print out Anabakoah verses. COACH. Verses, and you want to print out Tikkun HaNefesh. And there's a third one that just says out of a co-op. That's about 10 pages long, 10 or 12 pages long. The first two you need to bring with you. If you want, bring all three. Because we'll be going over them in detail. Because these are the tools that we'll start. And they basically use the